All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about the weapons of our warfare. And how do you guys battle? How do we battle? First and foremost, I'm absolutely honored and privileged to stand before you guys today. This is not something that I take lightly, and I want to be real with you today. And I hope you get an opportunity to see a glimpse of my passion as I share a little bit of what God's been talking to me about and just share from personal experience. And just know that anything that I share, it's my personal experience, and there's that human aspect, and sometimes there's no way to fully reflect how amazing God is for us. And before I forget, too, special thanks to Dustin for helping me out with the whole techie stuff. It's always humbling to work with somebody who has a vast knowledge of technology or any skill, and I thank you for investing time to get that set up. And really, you know, the gentleman in the back, anybody who's helping get all this stuff set up, when you're standing up here, you just get a little bit greater appreciation for what it's all about, getting prepared. And, you know, this week, I've definitely felt the battles. Even just last night, Ashley and I drive separate with her getting in here early to rehearse, and my cell phone was doing some really weird stuff. It shut off on me. It had a full charge. It shut off me 3 or 4 times as I was trying to set the alarm to make sure I didn't sleep through and get the kiddos around and get in here. And I prayed over that. Sure enough, it stopped. Can't explain it any other way, but it was just one of those things. And in the middle of the week, I just felt a lot of heaviness. The enemy didn't like that I was preparing for sharing some things with you guys today. So let's pray and ready our hearts for what God has to say. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this special day. You are incredible. You are a perfect example of what it means to be a father. And I pray, Lord, that you would just soften our hearts this morning. There's a lot of activities and things going on, and you're going to work through those. But would you just dampen the distractions that can be there and help us to be in this moment? We ask you, Father, to bring a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Keith Rick, and I've had the privilege of being an elder here for the last couple years, and I still just pinch myself with that. It's a great honor, and I'm blessed with such an amazing family. Ashley is a tremendous example of a Proverbs 31 woman. I love having her at my side. She gives me so much that I just can't even express. I talked to Bill Ellinger last week, and he asked me about our story. And let me just share you a little bit about the power of prayer and the impact that had on Ashley and I. So I've known Ashley for about 30 years now, and her family moved into the area. We grew up in church together, and by the time we got into junior high, started to figure out we liked each other a lot. And after a bit, her folks said, you know what, we can see where this is going. Why don't you guys just be friends, okay? Let's just settle this down a little bit. And the first reaction is, really? And you're like, yeah, they're right. Well, fast forward, we went to a Baptist trip out to, it was a North American Baptist trip out to California, and some people tried to kind of set us up again. And her family was moving in 2 weeks, so I thought, this is ridiculous. On the last leg of the trip, we're at a church camp just west of Lincoln, Nebraska, and Ashley and I sat on a swing set, and we knew it was coming, with her moving, and we just ask, God, Lord, we want to be together. We feel this drawing to each other, but you need to prepare us for whatever's going to happen. Get us ready for whatever you have in store. Just sharing God our heart. And she moved. I literally saw her probably less than 2 hours in 8 years. Didn't talk to her really other than that. And I can share more sometime, but God brought us back together. And hallelujah for that. And I'm super blessed. So I just wanted to bring light to how God, sometimes you pray and you get a ridiculously quick answer. And then other times it's drawn out and there can be a pretty rugged path to get to that. But through that, God works. And Ashley does a tremendous job helping me to train our tribe of warriors at our house to handle what's out there. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, you know, this message is for all of us. But with that being said, today I'm just going to appeal a little bit more to the dads in the room. Lean into them a little bit more. Okay, so it'd be a little bit more relatable to them, but I know the ladies can resonate with this as well. So, in God's Word, we're reminded many times that we're in a battle. And I think that's really key to remember as we're going through today's message. So what kind of battle are we talking about? You know, we see the physical. We can't see the supernatural. So there's fighting and wars going on through the centuries all the time. We can see that. And we can relate to that a lot easier because that's the physical. So, as followers of Christ, we know the final outcome of the spiritual war, so what's the big deal? You can just sit back and hit cruise control, right? Not so much. So if you got your swords with you today, I'd encourage you to crack it open, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, okay? We're going to start with verse 3. As you're still working to get to that spot, I'll begin here, okay? We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So I just wanted to bring light to the context of this passage. We had the opportunity earlier this year to go through Corinthians. And I found it to be interesting how Paul is just cruising through the first 9 chapters of this book. And all of a sudden, he starts to drop the hammer here because he's got some people that are pushing back on the gospel. And here he shows that, hey, I can defend my authority in Christ. And he's dealing with these slanderers that are spreading things against him and basically grinding on the local people. So he's calling them out, and they're labeling him as timid. And saying that, you know what, you're just bold in your letters, and when you show up around here, you're just going to be old timid Paul. And he tells them not so fast. Basically says, don't make me drop God's hammer on you. You're not going to stand up against it. So likely most of the believers were on board in support of Paul, okay? So you have the majority, but we know how the minority can really fester amongst us. So Paul stands solid, as we should, in our position in Christ, and he's ready to wage war in a godly fashion against the false apostles in the area. So he reveals a pretty good insight on how we're supposed to tackle the secular opposition, the enemy in the unseen realms, and just importantly, our sin nature that lurks inside of us and wages war against our life in Christ. Okay, so we got the old person, we got the new person. And also in Corinthians, it talks about how we're to be a new person in Christ. That old person is to be knocked out. Are we to do that ourselves? No. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Okay? So how do I manage this issue of wanting to do what is right and how my sin nature can impact the outcome of any daily encounter I have? I got to have my sword, right? That's the only way we can battle. Okay? So I got an example for you. I was coming home from work a couple weeks ago on a Friday. We all know how great Fridays can be if that's your typical cycle of heading into the weekend. And I was just kind of taking a deep spiritual breath on the way home, 10-minute commute, and I knew that the stress of the week had gnawed on me, and I'm just worn out physically and mentally. And I knew I need to pray about this, because when I get home, my sin nature is I want to nitpick. If things aren't in the right order, if the kids aren't doing what they're supposed to do, then I'm quick to jump on that. Terry Long and Ed Hurt, I had the privilege of being in a core discipleship group with them. It's hard to believe that's working towards a decade ago. And Terry's really good friend, Red, dropped in with us a couple times, and something really stuck out to me. And I've heard other believers talk about this kind of thing, but he really made it resonate for me. You know, really all of us have our weaknesses, and I think we get caught up sometimes thinking that, okay, if I give my life to Christ, that this is just going to be smooth, or it's going to be a ton better. Not so much, right? So Red talked about how his temper had cost him a lot, and it hurt him. But he shared how God worked through that, and he helped me to understand better that stuff's lurking in the weeds. And if we don't get ready to battle on a daily basis, if we don't allow God's word to renew our mind, that stuff's going to jump out at us, take us off guard, and we're going to give into that more often than not. So I'm here to encourage you today. We have the ability as followers of Christ to be equipped to take this stuff on. So I'm going to read real quick out of Romans. Bear with me today. I'm a physical therapist and an athletic trainer. This is certainly not my normal gig. I'm surprised I'm not shaking up here like I usually am, but thank you, Holy Spirit. So let me turn to Romans here. You can if you want to. I think some of you might recognize what I'm going to read, but I really resonate with what Paul is talking about in chapter 7. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritually good. The trouble is with me, for I am too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right. But I do it. Or excuse me, I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person that I am. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind? I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sin nature, I'm a slave to sin. Who can relate to that? Can we relate to that? Absolutely. You know, the previous chapter in 6, Paul lays out that we're not to stretch out grace by saying, oh, you know, it's my sin nature. I'm going to do my thing, and then I'll ask for forgiveness. He labels that as a bad idea, and that's not good. And we need to be careful of that. But I think it's important to not beat ourselves up. The devil wants to do that. He wants to knock us down. He wants to destroy us. And that's really, too, what I want you to recognize. He's not playing games, and we shouldn't either. You know, and I know all too well how it feels. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about, fathers, don't exasperate your children. I know all too well how that feels to do that. And kids, you see when I struggle with that. And it hurts me when I do that. And that's a moment where I really resonate with that Romans chapter 7. So I don't want to exasperate them by the way I treat them. And so it's important for me to get my sword out, to commit to that daily, knowing that stuff's lurking in the weeds because that's a weakness of mine. But God works through that. So despite the fact that I desire to raise them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, I still struggle with that. And that's a real thing on a daily basis. And like anybody else, I have my good days and my bad days. But it's amazing when I have an experience like I had on that Friday night, you know, to elaborate. I got home. I didn't finish the story. I got home and, you know, I prayed and I felt like my heart was where it needed to be, but as soon as things started to unravel in the order of what I thought the evening should go like, I started to unravel. And it wasn't a pleasant experience there for a couple minutes. And, you know, we were able to reconcile, but that's hard. Because then pride wants to set in. And you don't want to admit that sin nature just one. So we're going to continue on here. I appreciate you sticking with me. So let's turn to kind of our main section here in Ephesians chapter 6. We talked a little bit about earlier in the chapter about fathers not provoking your children to anger by the way you treat them. We're going to move on to verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So, therefore, we need to do something about it. So let me just sit tight and park on that for a moment here. Does it say that we're supposed to check out the spiritual forecast and see what things look like and make a change on what we're going to do for the day? It doesn't, and we're going to take a look at that here. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything you can to stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So if we back up a little bit here, does it say be strong in yourself and your own power? It doesn't. We got to tap into God's strength, God's power. And it's so easy to think, I got this. I can do this. I read my Bible this morning. I got this. And we're going to be prone to weakness and giving into things that we don't want to. So Paul's using some imagery here of something that the Ephesians can relate to. It was a Roman world, and he's describing a Roman soldier and what he has on so that they can get a context of what he's looking at in the spiritual armor. And so sometimes it's a little harder for us to relate to some of that because it's kind of the old school equipment, but it still applies, of course, to today. So that belt of truth, that's our foundation right there. If you don't know what the truth is, Satan has some pretty good packages for how he likes to disguise stuff. And we're seeing a lot of that right now. And if we don't know what's in here, stuff might look pretty good. There might be a false gospel out there that we might be potentially giving into without even realizing it, because it looks good. It's packaged in a way that Satan lures us into that stuff. And there's a lot of other ways that can manifest, but that's just one example. So if you think about these components, just all the protection that comes from that. You know, the righteousness, when we accept Christ into our lives, boom, we're made righteous. That's a done deal, justification, right there. But that sanctification that occurs over our life that needs to happen, that's where we're really starting to sharpen up on how we utilize this stuff. So when you get in a situation, like Peter talks about, are you ready to share your story? Are you ready to share the gospel with somebody? Do you have yourself set and ready to go? There's a lot in here to unpack that is beyond the scope of today, and I would encourage you to dive into that when you feel led to. So we see in that passage, God gives us supernatural weapons for a supernatural battle. So God's word is indispensable. We've got to have that. So I kind of touch base on some of those components there. I've heard people talk about with the belt of truth, people could resonate back then that the Roman soldier had so many items that were critical to having the belt on. If they don't have the belt on, the rest really isn't going to do as well. It comes with the whole package. So God's word is indispensable, and prayer is critical, okay? So earlier I shared a story about how I prayed about something I wanted, something I desired, something Ashley and I desired. God honored that. But I know that if he had a different plan, he would have made me okay with that. Got a fun little picture here for you. I've never been in the military, so I can't speak from that, okay? But something I can resonate with is playing football. I'm a little bit more aerodynamic now. So I remember when I whatever year, whatever season it was of 10 years of playing football, I was always excited to get my pads, get my gear, because I knew it was time. And all the equipment served the same purpose, but it did have a custom fit to it. And unfortunately, one season, my junior year of college, I thought it was cool to have the new Rydell helmet when I had gone with a different company in the past. New, flashy, cool. Well, since I'm an athletic trainer and a physical therapist, I think my self-analysis and self-assessment there is it probably didn't fit me very good. And if anybody's played football and knows the Oklahoma drill, I had a practice that didn't go so well. And the point I bring there is we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody has that different connection with the Lord. That doesn't change the truth. The truth remains the same. But we connect in different ways. And so in that moment, I looked at something that, ooh, I want that new thing. When I had equipment that worked just as well. You know, and in football, with the training, we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. When you train, you look different. You don't look the same. I know that anybody, brothers and sisters that have been in the military, when you go through basic training, you don't come out the same. You're a different person because of what you've been through. And again, I can't speak to the details on that, but I've seen and heard people talk about it. So if we're not in here, we're not going to be walking out what we desire. And that's where that sin nature comes in and overtakes. So when you put on God's armor, you look a little bit different when you train. So that was about 30 plus pounds ago. But that hard work, you know, it meant a lot, and you get a reward for it. Spiritually, we get a reward for training hard. You know, getting up and lifting weights early in the morning, whether it's high school, college, anybody that can resonate with that, parents, fathers, you know, I take my son in to lift weights. And for me, I resonate with that a lot because I know it was hard to get up out of bed. But B, I love how you're ready to bounce out and get after it. And I want to do the same to encourage you to be a good steward of your body and getting into the Word. You know, and it's sometimes hard for me as a father, I'll ask my kids, hey, what you been reading the Bible lately? And, you know, sometimes I can come across in a way where it's a little bit more maybe drill sergeant. And I just need to share what's on my heart and spur them on. So, if we don't communicate with God, don't get into the Word, it's going to make a big difference. So, we can use that coaching analogy. If we don't communicate with God, the ultimate coach, the one who designed us, the armor that he gives us and the instructions that come with it, then we are going to be frequently caught in confusion and weakness. I know you guys are picking up what I'm laying down. Spirit's working. I appreciate you hanging in there with me. So that battle training is critical. And it's really important for us fathers to know our children. So we need to learn how our children are wired. And this will allow us to engage them in a deeper way. Okay? That's that personalization part two. I know that I can't treat all of my kids the same for certain things, that certain things resonate different with them. I've tried to do that cookie cutter approach. It doesn't work, whether it's discipline, recreation, quality time. That sphere of influence really gets deeper, whether it's our kids or the people we spend time with. So, Baden, he loves sports and hunting, and we can really connect with that. My daughter Charlotte, she absolutely loves to read. And she's definitely the one that loves to organize our home and keep us on track. And we have to remind her that she doesn't have to get so worked up about that. But I love it. And Hudson, He's our skateboarder and our mechanical engineering mind. And Ellie, she's a tremendous ball of energy. She can melt you with the way she loves to spend quality time, just with a simple snuggle. And Hattie, our little one, is growing up real quick as usual. She's super sharp. You know, she's been walking since 8.5 months. Of course, she had to beat her older brother's record of 8 months and 3 weeks. So I'm sure we'll give her a little bit of ammo there to poke fun at her brother down the road. So training up in the strength of the Lord is essential. I'm wanting to really be repetitive here. That way we're getting more and more of this. So all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So dads, we must know God's word. So just as a great coach knows the playbook well, that when a certain play call is needed, he's already got it queued up in his mind. I love how the Spirit works in me when I allow him to. And when someone brings something up, whether it's one of my patients at work, or it's a brother or sister in Christ and we're talking, or it's just someone I just met. When I feel that stirring in me, I love it when God brings up scripture or just something that I can resonate with them on. And I can build that relationship with them, whether it's just 5 minutes or 5 years or a lifetime. So even though I have no experience in the military, I do know that a soldier is not caught up in civilian life. There's basic training, and then there's more specific training when specializations are determined while serving in the military. So they're trained to do their job, carry out their mission. We should do the same. God's got a mission laid out for us. It's personal, but the principles remain the same. So that training, just like the military will spend time knowing their opponent, knowing what they will do to figure out that next step, we got to do the same. So it's not only to battle the enemy, but brothers and sisters, we got to protect each other. I heard a brother recently mention an experience about playing starting quarterback in high school senior year, and left tackle did not do his assignment, and he got blindsided and just got laid out and ended up having a head injury. Doesn't blame him for it, but it's an example of how we need to be too, to protect the faith family. Sometimes we have those blind sides, okay? And if you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you, say, hey, brother or sister, I see this is going on. I don't know if you realize that that's what's up, but I'm here to tell you God's word says this, and this is my experience. And we can help each other to protect. So as followers of Christ, we're on the winning team. But that doesn't mean we sit back and relax and hit cruise control. As fathers, it's critical that we get into God's training book. Brothers and sisters, we got to get into this training book, God's word. So that renewal of our mind is that daily experience. We just can't have that spotty time and expect to have the same outcome. And ultimately, that training that we do personally as fathers will have an outcome and the impact that we want to have on our family. When they leave our homes, things change. Things move on rapidly, and we got to be prepared. I remember having this with one of our kiddos' dedication. How can a young person stay pure by living according to your word? I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love how that ties right into what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. Psalmist is saying, we're prone to wander. Lord, help me not to do that. So guys, what can we all learn from this? We know that there is a battle, an unseen supernatural battle. We've got to be aware of that and allow God to equip us with the spiritual equipment that He has. So when we give our lives to Christ, we become properly equipped. So it's nonstop. It's been going on since the Eden battle. And it's going to continue going on until Christ completes His mission. So just as Christ issues all of us His power when you ask Him to heart, maybe you and God have been having a great season, spending great time with drills in the Bible and advancing the kingdom. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, I gave my life to Christ, but I haven't been consistently training. Or maybe you desire, I don't feel equipped. I don't think I have that. And you want to be equipped to take on the unseen battle and be a part of God's kingdom. Is He tugging at your heart right now to join the kingdom team? Or to get back into a consistent participation in the kingdom? Just remember, if you have Christ in your lives, if you've given your life to Him, you have what it takes. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And when you ask for help and you get into here, He's going to help you. But remember, if you don't have Christ in your life, you can't give your children what you don't have. So know that you can talk to somebody, whether you need prayer on renewal or you're questioning whether you have a personal relationship with God. Find one of us elders. Find a friend that you know reflects Christ. Talk to one of the deacons. Talk to the pastors. And by the way, I'm so amped up right now to get this vote done today. I'm excited. I'm really excited for what God has in store. So guys, the war has already been won. But as long as we are here on earth, God is calling us to train with Him so that we can glorify Him. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I desire to be in battle with you. Let's battle together the right way. Are you with me? Amen. I really appreciate your listening here this morning and just letting me share my passion here. So how are you going to battle? I ask that you would join me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I'm a broken, imperfect man, but I thank you for equipping me and giving me the opportunity to train my own tribe. I just want to encourage the fathers who are here or who will hear this. Stir in them, Lord, an awakening. The enemy is at work, but as the darkness rises, so too does the light. And I just pray, Father, that you would protect our faith family in the coming days. Just pray that you would help us to not be out on an island by ourselves, afraid to come together. Encourage us, Lord, to have our own quiet time that we can do drills and train with you. I just pray your blessing over the remainder of the day. I pray that each and every one of the people here and involved with the car show, with our sphere of influences, would you just help us to have conversations that are just sweet aromas to you. We lift up all these things up to you, Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.